You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Monday, the start of another week in the NBA, the final Monday of February, and we are ready for more Sacramento Kings basketball and Sacramento Kings talk right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. My name is Matt George. Hope that you are enjoying your final Monday of this month, getting ready for March. And as March approaches, you know two things for sure. One, the NBA playoffs are that much closer. And number two is we are going to have a lot of home games inside the Golden 1 Center for the Sacramento Kings. The month of March is the month in the Golden 1 Center for Sacramento. The front half of their schedule, particularly in the very beginning of the year, was extremely loaded with road games. The two major road trips of the year, the Kings got done relatively early from the East Coast, and now they get to spend a lot of time here at home in their own building. And what better way to use that second half of the season and all that time at home than to get some wins, figure some things out, and try and put yourself in the best position, but the best feeling as you go into what is expected to be an extremely crucial and important offseason and summer for this Sacramento Kings franchise. Charles did a phenomenal job last week, keeping you in touch with everything after the All-Star break and getting you ready for all of the action that we had this weekend. And that's really what we're going to focus on here in this podcast, is we have been treated over these last two games inside the Golden 1 Center to two phenomenal basketball games. And I think it's important for Sacramento Kings fans, but all NBA fans in general, to sometimes take a step back and relax a little bit when it comes to focusing on the stars or the monumental achievements or statistics or 40-point games or what shoe the guys are wearing. None of that matters when you're just focusing on any given night. You can have phenomenal basketball. And any given night, you can see and be entertained, even if it's between two of the worst teams in the league, or one team is extremely bad and one team is extremely good. It doesn't matter. We've been so used to seeing the Golden State Warriors shine and be taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James in the finals every single year, that that's all really everybody thinks about. This year, it's all about, well, are the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets going to come and clash inside the playoffs, and what will that mean? And I'm on that boat as well. I'm extremely excited to see those two teams face off and hopefully a really, really good playoff series, because that's probably the top tier, the pinnacle of basketball this season that you're going to get. That being said, that doesn't mean that every single night when the Kings play or the Charlotte Hornets play or the Atlanta Hawks play that you're not going to be treated to good basketball. And I think we've lost that a little bit. And not to get too heavy on a soapbox, my point is, for Kings fans who are struggling through this year, who have been struggling since after the DeMarcus Cousins trade, wondering, okay, what direction are we going in? How am I supposed to enjoy yet another turn, twist in the road, and push towards a further rebuild? Haven't we been going through this for over a decade? And I completely understand that. That frustration is completely warranted. You can't feel wrong or bad for feeling that way. It's a tough situation because you know that ownership, management, front office, coaches, players, they've all changed a lot, very frequently, far too frequently over the course of the last few years the Kings have not been in the playoffs. However, that doesn't mean that it has been any easier. It's easier to just file those years away and think, okay, we've been starting a rebuild fresh really for the past 8 to 9 to 10, actually over a year now, since the DeMarcus Cousins trade. So my point in bringing all this up is that these games, the last two games that we've gotten at home against the Oklahoma City Thunder and then over the weekend against the Los Angeles Lakers, these last two games are what Sacramento Kings fans need to hang their hat on. But what's weird about both of them, right? The Kings lost them both. And we're going to talk about losing and tanking at some point this week. That word tanking boils my blood. And we're going to spend an entire podcast episode, an entire day, talking about tanking. But as of right now, we're going to explore the concept of a good loss and how it can be a positive for this team going forward. We got good losses this week. or last week and this weekend. And we got damn good basketball. And sometimes that's what you need. It's the little things, right? To get you through a season of low expectation. We knew coming into this year that playoffs were not going to be a possibility. Maybe the players didn't know that. Everybody believes they're going to make the playoffs before the season starts. We know that. No surprise there. But maybe, just maybe, games like what we got against the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Los Angeles Lakers, moments like De'Aaron Fox's put-back dunk to win in Miami or the Kings beating the Cleveland Cavaliers in Golden State, moments like Vince Carter at 41 years old getting up and throwing down a dunk, or Bogdan Bogdanovic winning the Rising Stars MVP. Moments like those are what can carry us through. Because it's frustrating. It's a hard time to be a Sacramento Kings fan, and I'm right there with you. I grew up a diehard fan of this team. I've been in the Sacramento market my entire life, working in radio and growing up as a fan. So I know how long it has been and how the word patience really should not be in the vocabulary of any fan in Sacramento, because nobody knows it better than Sacramento Kings fans. But I can honestly tell you, nights like against Oklahoma City and nights like against the Los Angeles Lakers over the weekend, nights like that are what get me through this year. And I'm curious if they get you through as well. So we're gonna look at both of these games, the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder and the game against the Lakers. And we're going to break them down a little bit and talk about the good and the bad, but mostly the good from both of those games. And then we'll preview also a little bit. The Minnesota Timberwolves are in town to take on your Sacramento Kings tonight. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are, a lot of people say the Golden State Warriors are the golden standard, right, of what the Sacramento Kings could shoot for, building through the draft and ultimately building not just a dynasty, but one of the best teams in NBA history of all time. But the Minnesota Timberwolves, I think, are a better comparison. And we'll spend some time talking about them as well. But let's switch gears. Let's get right into this Oklahoma City Thunder game. And before I break down anything, here is a smaller, condensed version of some of the highlights, courtesy of the Sacramento Kings Radio Network and the G-Man, Gary Gerald. Here's a small bit, snippet of how this game went. We'll come back and talk about it on the other side.
Willie with a wraparound, he just tried to create something out of absolutely nothing, and he came away with absolutely nothing. Transition three, Melo score it. Thunder perfect from downtown. They're 4 of 4. They missed by a couple of inches, being 5 or 5 on that bucket from the far corner, knocked down by Hustis. 26-11 in favor of the visitors. It's now 29-13 in favor of the Thunder. Driving reverse, missed by Cauley-Stein. Mello, wing three, got another one. 32-13. Might be time to call timeout here and talk things over, but Jaeger's going to let him play for the moment. See if that changes when they bring it across the midcourt line. Yes, timeout taken by Sacramento. Kings in this second quarter have outscored the Raptors 17-5. Here's a great block inside. Scalabissier on a drive by the Thunder. Scal back at the other end. Rips it with a left hand. And we're down to a 9-point single-digit ball game. Let's make that your Berko Redwood moment of the game. Great push by the Kings, 19-5 in this quarter to get it to 49-40. Buddy cruises across the midcourt line. Hands to Carter, takes the three, now drives, finds the seam, look out, above the rim, and the throwdown by Vince Carter. He stopped a pose just a moment after he threw that one down. He said, yeah, let's turn back the clock one more time. Number 15 off the bounce. So much fun seeing him above the rim. George driving on Jackson. Good D by Jackson. Tough fall away is missed by Paul George, and the rebound claimed by Garrett Temple. That was a very nice defensive sequence for Justin Jackson. Lead pass to Vince Carter. He scores it down in the low post on a quick post-up turn, and he was above the rim. It wasn't a real hammer job, but he did flush it, and he drew up contact, and he is going to get an and one after a timeout. Zebo now digging back on Patrick Patterson. Draws 1, 2, 3 defenders. Doesn't make any difference. Zebo converts with the left hand. Three men in blue surrounded him. They had him triangulated, but he still converted with the favored left hand in the low post. Zeebo now isolated on the right side. Shakes, goes right, pulls up on the baseline, and hits another one. About a 14-footer by Zach Randolph. It's now 16 unanswered points by the Kings for a five-point lead at 90-85. Carter gives to Heal, fakes the three, steps left, launches the three, scores the three. What a pretty sequence by Buddy Heal. The lead is four for Sacramento at 101-97. Heal now has 19. Coming up on the midpoint here of the fourth quarter. Here's a drive and a kick. Carmelo for three, answers back with a triple. Carmelo Anthony hitting his seventh three-pointer of the night in 11 attempts. 107-105. Driving Westbrook, kicks to the far corner. Paul George for three, air ball into the hands of Justin Jackson. Kings run up the floor. They're not taking a timeout. Here's Carter with a deep three, 6 seconds to go. Front rim short. It's grabbed by Temple. Put back, scored by Justin Jackson with 1 second to go. The putback initially missed by Garrett Temple, and Justin Jackson, the rookie from North Carolina, cleaned it up down the left side of the lane. And the Thunder, with 1 second to go, the score is tied at 107 apiece. Only the second field goal tonight for Justin Jackson, who has 4 points. With a second to go, it'll be Carmelo Anthony on the near side of the front court to put the ball in play. Now, you've got various candidates, including Paul George, who's got his heels at the three-point arc straight away. Steven Adams is at the free throw line. Jeremy Grant is at the left side of the lane. And Westbrook is just outside the paint, defended by Temple. So this will be a bang-bang sequence to win it. Inbounds, quick launch, score the basket! It's knocked down by Russell Westbrook. They'll review it. It was a catch and shoot on the right wing. It was in three-point range. They'll review it, but my goodness, Jason, from my line of view, it looked like it was good.
Phenomenal call there by the G-man. That game was, it looked dangerous early, right? Sacramento Kings give up 44 points in the first quarter, the most they've given up to anybody, any team this season. They're down by 23, 44-21 at the end of the first quarter. And we're sitting there thinking, okay, after the fun and the thrill of a all-star break, where we got to see, at least we had some bragging rights after what Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic did. We had some bragging rights. It felt good. And now we're going to come back to our own building, the Golden One Center, and we're going to be the plaything, the toy for the Oklahoma City Thunder to really prove that they're a better team than their record indicates. What I appreciate about this Sacramento Kings team is, because of all the young guys, there's no quit. There are a lot of times where I've questioned effort for the Sacramento Kings this year, but I've never questioned if they quit or not. Because these guys play hard, and that includes the veterans. Sacramento Kings outscored the Thunder 39-23 in the second quarter, 30-18 in the third quarter, and all of a sudden had a lead in the fourth. Most of the fourth, the Kings were in control in the win column, or in the scoreboard, that is. And it took the Oklahoma City Thunder and last year's MVP, Russell Westbrook, to hit an absolute insane, incredible, quick catch-and-shoot shot with 1 second left for the Thunder to win that game. I take pride in that. I think the Kings should absolutely take pride in that. I alluded to earlier the concept of a good loss. Is there such thing as a good loss? That is it. And it's not because of the draft situation. So let me just preview an upcoming podcast for this week as we're going to talk about tanking for a better draft pick. This was not a good loss because the Kings are still in the running or tied with multiple teams for the worst record in the NBA and best chance at a number one overall pick. That's not why this was a good loss. So get that out of your head and first and foremost. This was a good loss because we saw what it takes for this team to turn things around and that they're capable of doing so. A lot of these guys were frustrated in the Sacramento Kings locker room after the loss. A lot of the players were. Bogdanovic was about as not heated, but as upset as you're probably going to see him. This team wanted that win bad. But more importantly, especially the veterans that I talked to, Garrett Temple, Vince Carter, they were proud and impressed that this team didn't hang their head. The Sacramento Kings, that game could have been essentially over after the first 12 minutes. The Kings didn't quit. Zach Randolph set a great example, scoring 29 points in 40 minutes, also pulled down 12 rebounds. He was the workhorse for the Kings offensively. But Buddy Hield, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists in 29 minutes off the bench. Scal Labissiere in his return from injury, 10 points, 2 rebounds. Temple and Carter each provided 13 off the bench. Sorry, Temple started. The team didn't quit. They kept fighting, and they fought for the entire 48 minutes. They got off to a really bad start, and it's not just that the Kings were playing horribly in the first quarter. The Oklahoma City Thunder didn't miss. They shot almost 80% for the entire quarter. It was raining threes like nobody's business. Carmelo Anthony looked like he was 8 years younger. Paul George was hitting on all cylinders. George finished with 26. Anthony finished with 23. Russell Westbrook finished with a triple-double. It was a relatively quiet game for him besides that game-winning shot. 17 points, 15 rebounds, and 11 assists for him. But that was a good loss, not because of a draft pick situation. To me, that was a great loss because of the fight that we saw on this team. The flashes of brilliance that we saw from this team. We got to see what it was like for Bogdan to have a bad game. He had 4 points and 2 assists in 19 minutes. He didn't play very much because, quite frankly, he was in over his head as one, the starting point guard, because De'Aaron Fox was out with pink eye. And also, he faced the entire night, he went up against either Russell Westbrook or Paul George. Not an easy task. And he struggled. And I wanted to see how he fared facing that adversity. How he responded to it, and he responded well against this against the Los Angeles Lakers a couple nights later. But overall, the team as a whole, they never quit. They never stopped fighting. And in a time where you're hearing this word tanking floating around at all times, where there are so many teams tied for the worst record in the NBA, where Dave Yeager knows that probably you're going to lose this game, a win, I guess, in the long term doesn't do much for you, and loss puts you in a better situation for a better draft pick, which hopefully might help your future. He knows that. Yeager knows that. All the players know that. But do they care? No. Because they want to win every single night. Because there's a pride factor to it. And I like to focus on what is guaranteed. And what is guaranteed right now is that these players are on the court in Sacramento Kings jerseys right now, so I want them to get better. And they got better after that Oklahoma City game, despite the loss, despite Russell Westbrook's heroics, and despite feeling frustrated or angry or maybe a little empty that this extreme, insane comeback that the Kings tried to put on just fell short. I was very proud of the Kings after that game. Now on to the Los Angeles Lakers game. Here's the G-Man with some highlights from that one, courtesy of the Kings Radio Network.
Mason driving into traffic. Forces a shot inside, no good. Gets the miss. Can get a reset. The Buddy in the corner for three. He's got the triple. Buddy Hield makes his first scoring contribution of the night. 22-21. Kings are now 2 of 4 from three-point range. 3-on-2. Left wing feed. Buddy again for three. He's got another one. And the Kings go back on top. 24-22. Buddy Buckets with some instant offense on back-to-back three-pointers. One from the corner, this one from the deep left wing to make it 24-22, and Luke Walton and the Lakers taking a timeout. Here's Mason driving, kick-out pass, open his Temple for three. He's got the bucket. 11 unanswered points for the biggest lead of the first quarter and the night for Sacramento. 29-22, we're going to make that your Bearco Redwood moment of the game. Temple to Carter, back to the baseline to Scal to a cutting Vince Carter for a two-hand flush. That was pretty. You talk about the extra pass and a timely cut by the 41-year-old Vince Carter for the two-hand rip. Scal, he shakes, gets into the lane. Tough floater, no good. Spike, stick back, Labissiere. Tough shot, the first one, and then almost out of nowhere, he appeared and his right arm sneaking up through a tangle of arms to spike it home. 8 points for Scal. Here's another Caldwell Pope three in transition. He scores it. It's a two-point game at 70-68. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has got 22 points, and he just hit his sixth three-point bomb. Lakers push it up, three defenders back, transition three, Caldwell-Pope. He's got another one. Seven season high three-pointer for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and the Lakers have taken the lead. He has 25 points. 12 of the 25 have come on four three-pointers made in this third quarter. Caldwell Pope trying to free up. He launches for another three. He's equaled his season career high with three-pointers. His eighth, 17 of his 30 points have come here in the third quarter. And the Kings turn it over. Here's Scalabissiere, baseline right. Shakes once, drives to his left. Kicks it out to Bogdanovich. A long three, and it's good. That was a 29-footer by Bogdanovich. Back to a two-point game. Inside 3 minutes to go in the third. It's 82-80. Bogey now has 17 points. Rebound, grabbed by Heal, lost by Heal. Scramble on the floor, grabbed by the Lakers. Isaiah throws it ahead. Here's Randall. Power rip, left hand. Lakers lead by eight. 105-97. Timeout Sacramento. And the Lakers have taken control. Here's Isaiah racing up the floor. Ball poked away by Bogdanovich, grabbed by Labissiere. They head down to De'Aaron Fox. He's driving the rack. He throws down a left-hand ripper. It's 107-104, 27 seconds to go. Now the Kings have got to push and score in a hurry. Fox lets the ball roll all the way up to within two strides of the midcourt line. Now accelerates to Bogey. Off-balance three. He's got the bucket, and he was fouled out on top. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is going to give the Kings a chance to make this a one-point ball game. Bogdanovich, Jason, I can't believe that shot because he was stretched out. It was so off balance, and yet it hit nothing but net.
Leaning forward, Pope trailed the screen, kind of hit his back, and Bogey was celebrating while laying sprawled out on the ground.
11.7 to go. Shot clock is off in a one-possession ball game. Kings on the short end of a 111-108 tally. Fox with a fake, now inbounds to Bogey. Fakes the three, drives, probes, gets into the lane, reaches with the left hand, it bounces, no good. The tip is missed, and it's grabbed by the Lakers. The Kings have to foul, and that is almost going to seal the deal if the Lakers make one free throw. 111-108.
You know, I'll first off just say this, and again, thanks to the Kings and the G-man Gary Gerald for those highlights. I love when the Kings and the Lakers play. Whether it goes back to my childhood rivalries between the two teams, or you know what it really is, and a lot of people don't like it, and I understand that, but the fan atmosphere always delivers for me, for the Kings and Lakers. I don't care that there are a bunch of people in yellow at the Golden 1 Center cheering on the Lakers. To me, that adds to it, and you see it certainly affects the players. These are two teams that are in the bottom tier of the Western Conference. It's not really an argument. The Los Angeles Lakers are further along than the Sacramento Kings in getting back to prominence, one, because of the personnel that they have right now, and two, because of the market that they're in, and there's really no argument there. But both of these teams are not sniffing the playoffs. They're not. But still, you can see these players get up and want to play hard in front of what is a very, very rowdy and excited fan base who's rekindling a flame that was burning rapidly all over the NBA back in 2001-2002. This rivalry is still very much alive, and a lot of it is because of that fan atmosphere. None of these players on either of these teams were playing for any of these teams back when this rivalry was at its pinnacle. But still, because of these fan bases and because of the history and even these two logos, when you see the purple take on the yellow, you know it's interesting to watch, and you should keep your eye on it because it's probably going to be close. And that's what this game was. It was close. The Sacramento Kings had the lead for the majority of the game. The Los Angeles Lakers responded in the second half with a strong third quarter, 37-25. They outscored the Kings in the third quarter. Game went down to the wire. Kings didn't get the bounces they needed, and the Lakers stepped up in a big way. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was phenomenal. 34 points in 38 minutes, 7 rebounds. He would not miss from outside. He was the hero for sure for the Los Angeles Lakers. But they had 7 players in double-figure scoring, so it was a very balanced game for Los Angeles. 13 from Ingram, 12 from Randall. He also had 13 rebounds. 11 from Brook Lopez. Josh Hart had 10. Kyle Kuzma, 10. Isaiah Thomas, 17. The Lakers got a strong team effort. The Sacramento Kings did all they could. they had a handful of players in double-figure scoring as well. You had Bogdanovich that led the Kings in scoring with 21 points in 30 minutes. De'Aaron Fox in his first game back from pink eye, 13 points and 6 assists in 30 minutes. 21 for Buddy Hield in 31 minutes, 18 points for Willie Cauley-Stein. But again, this is another good loss for me, because this is a complete effort that we saw coast-to-coast between two young teams for all 48 minutes that battled hard. One team had to win. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Sacramento Kings. But again, we saw something from this game that we can take away and make us feel good about the future. We saw that Bogey can be clutch in the fourth quarter when he needs to be, with that incredible four-point play that he cashed in on. Six assists for De'Aaron Fox, to me, is phenomenal, especially in a first game back from being on the bench. Buddy Hield, another 21 points in 31 minutes, also pulled down eight rebounds. Willie Cauley-Stein had a massive double-double. He was all over the boards, especially in the first half, 18 points, 15 rebounds. Frank Mason, we didn't talk about him very much because he returned in the Oklahoma City Thunder game. He played well tonight as well. And what I love about Frank Mason is no matter what game it is, who's playing, or what time it is in the game, he always plays downhill, and that's contagious. And that's something that's a trait that also Bogdanovich plays with that I think is contagious as well, and even De'Aaron Fox to some extent. That's what I hang my hat on from this team, is that they don't quit. They fight. And they fought all 48 minutes against the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Lakers, quite frankly, were the better team. They are the better team as of right now. But a great atmosphere, a back-and-forth game, players stepping up when they need to, players playing hard the entire time, and not just leaning on one or two veterans to carry them the entire length of the way. It was Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovich and Willie Cauley-Stein. That really brunted the offensive load, that is, for the Sacramento Kings. Over those two games, I've been very pleased with what I'm seeing. And those are two checks in the loss column that I can accept, knowing that the Kings are not supposed to win a lot of games, but that doesn't mean they're not supposed to play hard, and they're not supposed to show up every single night and take steps in the right direction. And these two games, to me, weren't just steps, they were leaps. And I'm not just trying to be Mr. Ho-hum, drink the Kool-Aid optimistic. Games like this are exactly what I want to see from this team in the second half. And I'm curious if you feel the same. If you want, you can reach out to me on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHTK. Share your thoughts on those two games. Also, share your thoughts on the upcoming game tonight. And if you're listening to this game after the Timberwolves game, share your thoughts on what you thought the Kings did against the Timberwolves. It's another test, a great test tonight for the Kings, to take on a team that, like I said, the Kings should probably be trying to model themselves after. But as for these last two, very pleased. Exactly what I would want from Kings performances, especially in their own arena. So tonight, it's the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we're not going to spend too much time previewing this game because there's really not too much to preview. I know this is a Sacramento Kings podcast, but I want to focus on the Timberwolves because I think it's important for Kings fans to understand how the Timberwolves did what they did and why the Kings should try and follow suit. Minnesota Timberwolves are finally going to break their long playoff drought. Their playoff drought is longer than the Kings, but they're going to break it this year. They're in fourth in the Western Conference, 37-26 overall record, 9-2 in their division. At home, they're 25-7, 12-19 on the road. So they've struggled a bit outside their building. They're 5-5, 500 over the last 10 games. Meanwhile, the Sacramento Kings, 18-41. They're 8-19 at home. They've won more games on the road, believe it or not, than they have at home, have the Kings. Kings are 3-7 over their last 10 games. They've lost three in a row now. The Minnesota Timberwolves have done it right. In the Kevin Love trade, they landed Wiggins, young player who's turned out to be phenomenal for them, and then they drafted Karl-Anthony Towns, who is well on his way to becoming the best big man, modern-day big man in the league. He's got DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis to contend with, but he's certainly there in the conversation, and he's only getting better. But what really put the Timberwolves over the hump was the Jimmy Butler trade. Now, Jimmy Butler is out, had that unfortunate knee injury, and he's probably going to be done. He says he'll be back for the playoffs. I certainly hope so, because he's been playing fantastic, and the Timberwolves can absolutely use his production, especially when it comes to playoff time. He really is their playoff experience, if you think about it. But the Timberwolves were in a very similar boat to what the Sacramento Kings were, and I want Kings fans to recognize the importance of once they started getting that core together and playing well, that's when they added the massive talent. It didn't just show up, right? They had Ricky Rubio as their point guard for a period of time, and he did enough. It wasn't fantastic, but wasn't bad. They had their core in Karl-Anthony Towns, who was slowly developing, and Anthony Wiggins, who was developing. And once those two started showing flashes of the stardom on what they could be, that's when the Minnesota Timberwolves pulled the trigger on a massive Jimmy Butler trade and also landed guys like Jeff Teague in free agency. The point is, even though the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're looking at it right now as a top four team in the Western Conference, and you're excited about that if you're a Timberwolves fan, it didn't just happen overnight. So let the Timberwolves be a reminder to the Sacramento Kings of a model they should follow and how it takes 2-3 years to get there. Again, everybody wants to compare themselves to the Golden State Warriors and how the Warriors did it. And that's fine if that's like the ultimate end-all, be-all goal. That's great. But if you want to constantly compare your pathway to that success to what the Warriors did, you're probably going to be disappointed and behind. As for the Minnesota Timberwolves, though, if the Kings can follow the model that the Timberwolves did, if De'Aaron Fox turns into that Anthony Wiggins-type talent and they get have another draft this year and land a Karl-Anthony Towns-type talent, I'm not saying same type of player, but similar in talent level, those two play together, get used to each other. We're talking 2 years down the road. Now the Sacramento Kings are looking to make their way into the playoffs and are one big trade or one splash in free agency away from being in the fourth spot in the West. It doesn't change overnight. But once you get the culture, people are going to want to come. So don't expect when it comes to this upcoming offseason for the Kings to be making massive, massive moves and being involved in all the top-tier conversations for free agency. And don't even expect them to be actively searching and hunting for massive talent for trades and at the trade deadline next year. Take a look at how the Timberwolves have modeled themselves and how that organization has run over the past 2-3 seasons and use that as a measuring stick for where the Sacramento Kings are going. I promise you, you'll see a lot of similarities and maybe it'll make you feel a little bit better. That's going to do it for me here, another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. If you are heading to the Sacramento Kings game tonight and you want to say hi, you absolutely can do so. I'll be sitting up in the media area, section 110, 111 in that area. So come on over and say hi. If you can see me, flag me down. If not, I appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoy the game here tonight. We will be back tomorrow and we will start this tanking conversation. We'll break down the Timberwolves game as well, but we really need to focus in on tanking in the NBA, because it's a word that I think needs to get out of the mouths of every single Sacramento Kings fan, because it's just not accurate and just not right for these Kings going forward. So look forward to that. But until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you for joining us here on the Locked On Kings podcast. We'll see you next time tonight, Kings and Timberwolves from the Golden One Center.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.